Okay, well, this should load up in a second. Let me tell you a little bit, just a little bit about myself. I'm an English professor, was for many, many years an English professor and then a dean. And you might wonder how and why I got myself so involved in public health. I've really made a big commitment to it and have been very active over the past 6 years in advancing undergraduate public health for everyone. There was a story at the beginning of it that I turns out to have been really important, and it relates to something I learned from a program in health education at Temple University, where I used to be vice provost. There was this unit called Hyper-D. Did you ever hear of Hyper-D? Some of you have. Yay, she says, go Hyper-D. They were health, physical education, recreation, and dance departments, and I think they were at a lot of comprehensive universities and even at some research universities for many years. Many of them have been reorganized. I don't know if there are a lot of them still left. When I was vice provost at Temple, I met a woman named Cheryl Ruzick, who was in health education in Hyper-D, and she ended up being the dean of the grad school. I was vice provost for undergraduate studies, and she said to me, "Susan, the world is changing. We need," this was in the late 90s, "we need to reorganize Hyper-D and lay the groundwork so that there can be a program in public health at Temple University." And she made this really impassioned plea. At that time, Philly, the fifth largest city, had no school of public health in a public institution. There was really not a lot going on. I didn't understand any of the politics of all of that. And Temple now has a really thriving program. It's wonderful. It's been moved up to the campus, the Allied Health campus, where the medical school is. But what I learned from Cheryl is that epidemiology is a way of thinking. I truly did not know that. And it changed my understanding of what I could do as an English professor to have in my mindset a new kind of epistemology, akin to the sort of powerful thinking that you can do in close reading in literature or in historiography, in the practice of history. That's epidemiology. And the critical importance of education in public health was something that Cheryl was advocating for in the 90s. I say this because I think many of you have been there for a long time, and that there have been programs in health education all around the country where people have known, we've got to broaden this work. We have to figure out how to get it into general education. And I want to acknowledge that good work that's been going on over many years at many types of institutions, not just in those with schools of public health, but among health educators. That got me started. It truly did get me started. Now, I'm supposed to say, I don't. I want to begin with this idea that the world needs more educated people, people educated in public health. In fact, maybe we ought to reach everybody. Maybe we ought to reach everybody. This is a picture I want you to do to wake up just a little bit. This is an HIV/AIDS project. It's actually a public health project, although not formally defined by the people who are participating in it. But I would argue that it's a really wonderful public health project at an institution. Actually, it's Worcester Polytechnic, I'll say. It's an engineering project in public health. I love the picture. I've been using it all over the country when I'm telling people about the educated citizen in public health. What are they doing? I mean, this is a small enough group that you can shout it out. What do you see in that picture, and how do you suppose it has anything to do with an HIV/AIDS project and public health? What is going on there? Rob?
Tremendous diversity.
There is tremendous diversity. Very true. And why
keep going.
There is that diversity. What do you see them doing? Okay, they're building boxes for gardens. I've had many other suggestions about what those boxes are. Somebody suggested coffins, that it was a kind of art installation. Somebody suggested they were going to grow medical marijuana. I really have been using this picture a lot. Gardening. Yes, that's what's going on. And even more, the garden is not just for the persons living with HIV/AIDS, it's for the whole community. It is a community garden. What's wonderful about this, is a junior engineering, civil engineering project in which the students went out and met with community leaders who together figured out something that would be very, very helpful to that community where there's a large percentage of persons living with HIV and AIDS that would be of benefit to people who are living with HIV/AIDS and are poor and would be of benefit to everyone in the community. And then they went about building the garden. Now, what they are doing here is learning some incredibly important skills for their lifetime. You could say this is presenting the results, the learning outcomes of an integrative public health project. And in a bit, you're going to hear more about the undergraduate public health learning outcomes project. I just want to give you a couple of the outcomes that you could suppose might have come from an activity like this. In the realm of knowledge, they are demonstrating the relationship between human rights and health. And we might decide that that's an outcome we want for every single undergraduate. And guess what? That's not going to just happen in health education or public health classes. It's only going to happen if it goes on in engineering, in STEM, in English departments. And that's one of the outcomes. Actually, that is an outcome that the Undergraduate Public Health Learning Outcomes Project settled on as a recommendation. They can recognize the impact of policies and laws on individual and population health. They probably can do that. We could ask them. They value cultural perspectives, multicultural perspectives, and they are sensitive to people's needs across perspectives of populations. Personal and social responsibility that they can be illustrating. And they can integrate and apply their learning. In short, what you saw in that picture can show you a way to address the Institute of Medicine call in 2003 that public health is an essential part of the training of citizens. For us at AACNU, this is something that we believe must happen for all undergraduates, and that work in this field is open to all faculty. It's a big tent approach. And leaders in that big tent movement need to have been involved in health education. They're the ones who can help others like me get it and realize what I can do in my English classes. I don't have enough time to tell you what I do in my English class. I used to when I was teaching. It's really wonderful. AACNU is a very large organization. How many of you know it? Some of you do? Okay. Membership is institutional, 1,200, all sectors, all types, about half private, half public. We have been working on this educated citizen and public health project for a number of years, and we have woven it into Liberal Education and America's Promise, which is our centennial campaign. We are almost a century old, and the Liberal Education and America's Promise is a campaign designed to lift up from the field, from you, the best of what we can know about undergraduate education and then hand it back as consensus. And we went through a consensus building process that took years, several initiatives, and came up with a set of essential learning outcomes that we understand the field is ready to embrace for 21st century undergraduate education. And guess what? They work really well if you frame them as public health, if you think of them as a lens, those are the essential aims and outcomes of undergraduate education: knowledge, skills, personal responsibility, and the ability to integrate all of them. I've already shown you that in process in that picture. You can break them out and go a little deeper. What you need to see here is that the knowledge area is focused by engagement with big questions. The skills area is problem solving. The personal and social responsibility is active involvement in diverse communities. And the ability to put it all together is demonstrated through application of knowledge, skills, and responsibilities to new settings and complex problems. So you see that picture. It's all just beautifully mapped in that picture. And pretty much any picture of engaged student work will get you there. This is so easy to do. Just drop in public health. You've got a framework that can bring your campus together. And everybody has something to contribute. So what bigger question is there than public health? I mean, I have been thinking about this recently because of yesterday, Halloween, the number 7 billion. You've all been paying attention to that. 7 billion is the number of people in the world. I read Elizabeth Colbert's article in the New Yorker, the projection for 2100, that year when my younger stepson probably still be alive, how many people? 10. Projection. No matter what you think about how you understand population growth, we're going to face some challenges. And our children are, and our children's children, and the new majority coming to college. And so there's no bigger challenge than I can think of. And you can get the whole campus together around this. Same with personal and social responsibility. Think about ethics within your biology or biomedical program. Think about it in quantitative reasoning and statistics. Think about how you can do some ethical work through biostatistics as part of Gen Ed. There are all kinds of ways you can do this work. To help the future, our future citizenry and people who live here, I know that's a fraught word, citizen, and we would like to make it much more commodious, capacious, how to deal with the challenges to human and environmental health, and how to do this by recognizing the changes in our population now and the critical need to make excellence inclusive. This is another part of the LEAP campaign. The concept of making excellence inclusive is this: every student, rich, poor, especially poor, needs a liberal education. The elite have always had them, a liberal education. People who are poor, people of color, tend to get pushed into narrow training programs. We are really, really committed to making the excellence of a liberal education available to every student. And what I've discovered in my work in public health and public health studies or integrative public health is that it's an exceedingly attractive program to a diverse student population. And it is a way in to healthcare professions for students who might not have been able to get there otherwise. It's incredibly important. I don't have enough time to go into that today, but when I think about public health, I think about making excellence inclusive as one of the most important things that we can do. So there is an essential tension between the idea of reaching everybody and working on your own major. I recognize that's there. We should face it and think about the strengthening that comes from tension. When you pull one way and pull another, you take a rope, which is just potential, into something powerful. I think we need to face that. That's a matter for important discussion. There are lots of resources here. You can click on any of these when you download it, and you will see. And that is the end of my presentation. Thank you.